Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is Deborah. My stand-up show, The Guilty Feminist Stands Up, is at Soho Theatre and runs from the 30th of November to the 5th of December. There is only standing room and I think one odd ticket left, but we will be releasing some every single day. So go to sohotheatre.com or come down to the theatre and try your luck. We're also recording a live episode of The Guilty Feminist Proper at Shakespeare's Globe as part of their Women and Power season, 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 12th of December. Our guest is Kathy Lett, the magnificent Australian writer. But don't worry, you won't be freezing outside. It'll be the indoor, beautiful, candlelit Elizabethan space. And don't forget Camp As Christmas, our LGBTQ plus refugee fundraiser at the Union Chapel on the 16th of December, hosted by me and Tom Allen, starring Sandy Toksvig, Jessica Fostergue, Travis Alabanza, and many more. For all of these, check the links in the show notes or go to guiltyfeminist.com. And we have a brand new podcast from the House of the Guilty Feminist. It's called Media Storm. And we have two investigative journalists, Matilda Mallinson and Helena Wadia, to explore stories and ask first those who are usually asked last or not at all. This week's episode, you will hear from refugees, specifically about channel crossings, and it is such a tragic, tragic week to release this. But it's never been more necessary. It's a wonderful, engaging podcast that the world really, really needs. So please go rate, review, subscribe to Media Storm and support the new podcasts from the House of the Guilty Feminist. And now on with the podcast.
I'm a feminist, Deborah. I am. I'm a feminist, but restaurant-wise, when someone just decides to choose the food for the whole table, especially if the whole table is just me and them, I get a huge, huge, huge boner for that. Even though it's really domineering.
Oh, you find it sexually attractive when someone says, we'll have the paella.
When they're like, I'll order for us, shall I? And I'd be like,
You find that a sort of act, a sort of sexually dominant?
I mean, in my head, it's one of those things, there's a bit of conflict in my head. I'm like, oh, will we? Will you order for us both? Will you? But my pants go, yes, he will.
Wow. And that, is that only, when you say he, is that only for man?
Well, it just happened recently with a man, yeah.
Oh, and you found it sexually exciting?
Well, I don't know. Just a vaguely, a bit of a vague tingle. Turn on the bossiness of it. Mm. Also, it's just relaxing, isn't it? When you've got a podcast about eating, people are always going to ask you, I'm eating now. There's a bit of satsuma in my mouth. So sorry. I'm rarely not eating. So people come to me for advice about eating. And it's so nice when someone's so confident that they just take over.
Really sexy. I find it equally sexy. And I don't say I approve of it. I say I'm aroused by it.
Yeah.
There's a difference things. I'm aroused by hardly anything I approve of. And it's a real problem.
Well,
I'm
bad,
a feminist, but I'm aroused by things I don't approve of almost exclusively.
Yeah, totally.
I'm a feminist, but the other day in a restaurant, I came in a little bit late for a meeting and a man did that old-fashioned chivalrous thing where he got up out of his seat a little bit. Yeah. He just did this. He just stood up because I came in and then sat down again.
Oh, wow.
And I thought,
he sort of honoured you with a little bit of standing up.
Yeah, it's very...
That's a few steps away from a doff of a cap in 2021, isn't it?
It's a chivalrous thing.
Gorgeous.
It was quite posh that men used to do, probably a generation ago, where they stand... And I really enjoyed being stood for. It made me feel very ladylike.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's funny, isn't it?
I'm sorry,
I had a boyfriend once who was stature-wise absolutely minuscule, tiny gnome of a boyfriend. But he still did a thing where if we were walking along any pavement, he would insist on standing roadside.
Oh, yeah, my brother used to do that.
So that if a car came onto the pavement, he'd be the first to die. But, I mean, theoretically...
I thought it was that mud wouldn't splash on your dress in the horse and carriage
days. Oh, I see, yeah. No, I felt like it was more of a, I'm here to protect you.
Mm.
It's
same.
It's so toxic masculine. It's so infantilizing of me. Like, I was in my 20s. I wasn't just going to run in the road. I'm not four. But equally, I just thought, what a kind man.
Yeah, also he didn't want mud splashing on your crinoline, on your bustle.
Yeah.
It's protective, whether it's protective from being hit by a car or mud from
a horse. Yeah. I'd rather, most of the time, I'd rather get a bit of mud on me than hit by a car.
Yeah, always. But, I mean, if one has a gentleman caller.
Yeah.
Let's be incredibly honest about this. He can have the muddy trousers.
Yeah.
Slash be run into my car. Like, the patriarchy's got to be good for something.
Yeah.
And if keeps mud off my bustle, then so be it.
I want that to be an Edinburgh show. Keep mud off Deborah's bustle. Is that mud on Deborah's bustle? Deborah's muddy bustle. That's a kid's book. That's your first kid's book.
Deborah's muddy bustle. I'm not closed to the idea.
Okay.
I'm not married to it, but nor am I blocking it. I have to say, I'd be open to the yes anding of that.
Okay. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm a feminist, but when a waiter gets my order wrong, I 100% just pretend that's what I ordered anyway and it's delicious and thank you.
Do you?
Even if it means, and this happened recently, that it's something not only I don't want, but I can't have.
Oh, no.
It was just a drink. It was at a gig. But I was asked if I wanted a drink and I said, yes, I'd have this, please. And instead he bought, it's not awful. I wasn't an allergy or whatever. I could have had it, but he bought a Coca-Cola and I had asked for a soda water. And I was like, I was nervous about this gig. I was like, I can't have that much sugar and caffeine. And it was late. I was like, I can't have that now. I won't sleep and I'll feel really sick and jittery just before I go on. And it's too sweet for me, that drink. It's not a calories issue, as obviously. But I was like, I don't want that. I can't have that now.
So you just
nearly
accepted
10 at night.
It, paid
just
for
had
it,
to let
and
it
didn't
go
drink
warm,
it.
Offer it to others.
And never got to hydrate.
Never guzzled it.
I'm going.
And every other comedian, they were all lovely in that green room, went, why didn't you say, please may I have the drink I'd actually like? And I was like, no way. God, no. I'm not rocking the boat like that. No way.
I can see that in a green room. In a restaurant, I'd go, oh, I ordered something else. But in a green room, I never want to look like a diva.
Yeah.
And in a green room, my only rider, I've said this to people in backstage at theatres, my only rider is that you spread the rumour that I'm incredibly down to earth and easy to please. I don't want any body saying, oh, she was a great big diva. She sent it back. I'm sure she said a Coke. And then, oh, no, I want this. I want that.
Having been on tour with you, you're not a diva. If anything, you're like a benevolent, like the on tour, those Deliveroos, I still have erotic dreams about the sushi we shared pre-tour show. You were so kind. You always made sure all of us had some kind. And there was ritual in the pre-show feast. It was a fun, awesome thing.
It was.
You're an anti-diva, Deborah.
It was.
That's me spreading your rider rumour now.
Oh, well, I love that. I love that. Because I used to order big Wagga Mamas. Because the first couple of nights of the tour, the people who were touring us, I guess it just wasn't in the contract that they fed us. But the thing is, we were there all night and sometimes we'd come out and nothing was open, like not even a kebab shop. And we'd get back to the hotel and there was nothing. Like sometimes we like missed supper and we ended up having, like I remember.
We just had to have so much wine. We just had to have so much beer for dinner.
Raiding a biscuit tin in the hotel room or something, you know. Yeah. Like, and I was like, this can't be supper. So that's I started ordering them on my delivery room and thought, well, maybe I'll discuss it with the producers later. But then it never really came up. And I just thought, oh, no, we'll just... But it was so fun, like, to get a bunch of Wagamamas or something. And everyone really enjoyed it. So just to be very clear to all the listeners out there on Her Majesty's internet, Jess Foster-Q has, in fact, reinforced the idea that I'm incredibly down-to-earth and a very charming person and not at all a diva. And you've heard that here, and that's set in stone now. Please tweet it.
I've doubled down on that. I'm a feminist, but historically, when ex-boyfriends have let me pay the bill in the restaurant every single time, because admittedly I earned more than them, I longed for them occasionally to have just a soupçon, just a tiny bit of toxic masculine pride. Just enough for them to sometimes want to at least go halves.
I think that's fair enough.
Do you?
I really
Good.
Do. Yes. Yes.
I have been out with some leeches.
I hope they're not the same men who are going, I'll order for us both. And then making you pay. If you order, you pay.
No, the recent, like, extremely confident, I'll order for us both. Also, in excellent feminism, both times I've eaten with them have gone halves.
Yeah, I'm a feminist, but I will not get aroused by going Dutch. I'd rather pay than go Dutch.
Okay, got it. Go Dutch means go halves.
Yeah, everyone pays for themselves.
Yeah, it's not a sexy thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. No one, if anyone, you are oppressed. If you have had to, if you've managed to get a throb on over going halves, you've had a shit time. You need to up your bar. I found out, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this. I'll check if we're allowed to keep it in. But it's like the dearth of sexy things for queer women to look at until recently, to the extent that my girlfriend told me that one of the first things she ever had to masturbate over was the instruction manual that came in a box of tampons.
What?
I mean, the Why? Bar has been set too low. That's equivalent of someone getting their rocks off over going halves on a bill rather than getting it bought for you or getting the thrill of buying the bill.
Completely.
You do not, to have so little to look at that to turn you on as a big gay kid or teenager that you had to look at the instruction manual
for tampons. You had to wank
the tampons
box. No, that's too low a bar.
Really funny though, isn't it? Really funny. And for me, an absolute touch that I've ended up in a relationship with someone so easy to please. I can do a drawing and...
Yeah, a sketch.
Perfect.
A little
just
sketch.
A sketch. That's
And
foreplay.
She'd be like, she'd be happy. Yeah. Young people listening, this is what life was like before the internet. You'd be scouring for pictures. People used to like get the catalogue from like Marks and Spencer because there'd be pictures of models in underwear and things like that. But it wasn't sexy. It was like, you know, men in Y fronts and like granny pants. But it was like, whoa, they're not wearing full clothes. And that's how people, that's what turned people on. That's what got people... excited. So you are in a way much luckier because you have access to more images, but in some ways unluckier because you'll never know the excitement
of
those.
Bar gets higher and higher and higher all the time. To the extent, but eventually they won't be able to get turned on unless the person they're looking at is inside out.
And now on with the podcast.
Okie dokie.
From a variety of bedrooms and kitchens via Zoom, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster-Q, and our very special guests, Anna Shari-Heiner and Vera Chernigina, talking about LGBTQI people in Ukraine. Woo! This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Jessica Foster-Kew. We're talking about LGBTQI rights in Ukraine. But before we get our guests on, Jess, let me ask you, how are you doing?
It's okay, thanks, my love. I've had a good week. I've seen you in real life this week. That was always a sign of a good week. I have had a radio series commissioned, which is a touch and brought me a lot of joy and means very I can exciting. Continue working with some people I've loved working with and talk to some really amazing weightlifting women. And that's as much as I can say on that for now. And today I achieved my first ever. This will mean nothing to most people, but it's a huge deal to me. I felt happier than the day I got my degree. I achieved my first ever toes to bar, which is a gymnastic movement that I didn't think a heavy old lady like me would ever learn.
And oh my I've God, set my mind you're not to it even 40, Jess. What are you talking about, old lady? How old are you?
38.
No one wants to hear old lady. No okay, one wants sorry. To hear that.
And also, middle-aged lady. I tell you what, there's women in my the women in my gym are all in their 20s. And there was one the other day, Debs, where I said, oh, I'm not bad for an older lady. And she went, how old are you? And I went, I'm 38. And she went, whoa!
She looked shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, oh! Yeah, which is okay. A compliment, but also like, oh, God, it's
can
not.
Can I just say, 38's really not old. 38's still young. But if you were hanging out with 20-year-olds, yes, yeah. It is. Because yeah, age think is I'm, so relative. Yeah. And think about when you were 19, what you thought of a 38-year-old.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So, yeah, when they don't expect to see quite a podgy one doing a toes to bar, and I've absolutely managed it.
Well, I don't know what a toes to bar is, but I'm going to just quickly look it up so that I can see what you've done. Toes to bar.
So you hang off a rig, so you have like a bar ahead of you, that sort of bar you might do a pull-up off, and you do a thing called kipping where you... You learn to use your shoulders and hips.
Oh, this does look impressive.
To swing, and then you flip your legs up, and then your toes have got to touch the bar, so your body sort of concertinas like a sort of
so
hinged
sandwich.
So both of
your hands, your hands are hanging off this bar, like in the Olympics, parallel bars, and then your toes go up to meet your hands.
Yes, and it's so much harder than it looks, especially if there's quite a lot of tummy in the gap.
Well, that looks absolutely extraordinary. Well, you know what I would say. As a feminist who is looking to strengthen herself, I heard someone recently who's an Olympic show jumper. He said, you have to become addicted to progress. And he said he was quite unfit, although he's a show jumper, which is, I thought was interesting because I thought they were very fit. But he said the horse does most of the running. So yes, you've got...
That's very funny.
He said you've got core strength. And of course, you are strong and, you know. But he said in terms of my aerobic fitness, it wasn't as good as it could have been. And he said I was getting puffed out after I was running 5 minutes. So he said I wanted to get better. So I thought I'll run a marathon. And I went from someone who couldn't run for 5 minutes to running a marathon.
Wow.
And he said the thing to do is get addicted... Not to outcomes, but to progress.
100%. Enjoy the journey. It's the same with everything.
And so my thing that I've been doing is dancing.
Yes.
And I am so...
You're great at it, Deborah. I've seen the videos.
I'm showing you my best work in a video, let's be honest. But I've been doing a lot of, and don't laugh. I'm going to challenge you.
I'm absolutely ready not to laugh now.
I've been doing a lot of ballet. And
good for you.
Yes.
Why not?
I'm not going to ever make anyone watch me do ballet. Let's just be honest about that. I'm not.
What if they beg to watch?
They can't. They would have to pay a lot of money to my favourite charity. If you would
Noted.
Have to give, I don't know, how much, £1,000 to Choose Love, you can come and watch me do ballet bar. But I'm mostly doing bar. I'm not like, you know, I'm doing pirouettes and things like that, but mostly it's to strengthen me. But I really enjoy it, like doing pliés and tendus and, you know, lifting like a certain weight. But you've got to hold yourself in a certain way, wrap the backs of your legs round and hold your core very strong.
Yeah.
But
it's
you've
amazing.
Got this kind of lovely ballet music going.
It's incredible compound core strength that you need for all of those things. There's some elements of Olympic weightlifting that are definitely like related to dance in terms of that it's not just strength, it's about movement, rhythm, muscle memory, and lots of being able to do lots of different movements at once in a rhythm. It's really fascinating. A bit like ballet and football as well. There's always people draw parallels there, don't they? It's all these paths align, really. And if you find your thing, is ballet bringing you joy? Do you feel excited before you do your ballet?
I really love it. And
or do you ever not want to do it?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes you think, oh, I'd rather stay in bed or whatever, but I'm always pleased I have. And once I'm doing it, I'm always enjoying it, even when it's really hard. But it is true that I've become addicted to the progress.
Yeah.
Because obviously I am never going to be a ballet dancer. I think we just need to be incredibly clear about that. That is not my goal. But I love being better at the things that I'm getting good at. And I love how much longer now I can kind of stand on my toes and hold myself erect.
Incredible.
My balance is so much better. My strength is so much better. But also, Jess, I used to hate standing around at parties or like, you know, just standing around when people are chatting. I was thinking, why? I want to sit down. This is really boring and hard and, you know, I feel a bit ugh. And now if I have to stand around, I just do my first position and wrap my legs around and hold my core. And I find I can quite enjoy holding myself up at a party.
Wow.
And I can notice my posture on stage. If I see a picture of myself on stage now, or a little video of myself on stage, I think, oh, I'm really held. And Ooh. That's what I wanted. Lovely. And I love doing the ballet bar because I keep feeling the progress. And sometimes I do stuff in the centre now, which is much harder because you've got nothing to hold on to.
Wow.
But I just love the progress. I'm sure I'm very bad compared to...
Oh, you know, shush it. I am deeply impressed. But better at it than ever will be.
I'm sure
so
I'll
impressed.
Never be good. But at the same time, I'm really good compared to what I was. And that's all I care about because I'm never going to be... You know, I just love doing things that I'm never going to do professionally because it really takes the pressure off it. So this is just fun. Yeah. And can I do something more this week than I could do last week? And it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I get quite good at tap dancing and then I have a week where I'm like really all just like won't work for me. Or I have a session because I'm tired or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I have a really big breakthrough 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And so I think in our feminism, we should be looking for progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
And in our ability to take up space or send our drink back, Jess.
Totally. Send your drink back.
Or kindly and warmly and thankfully, gratefully. In our ability to step up and ask for more and ask for more for others who are more marginalised than us. I think we should be looking for progress and we're too often looking for perfection.
Yeah. Addiction to progress is a lovely... thing, I think. And something that ties into that as well is if you're working, you know, if you're doing a program, if you're working on the steps towards something, trusting the process as well is a really interesting thing. Even if when the next time you come to test yourself, you don't make it that time, it might just mean you need to go through that process again. You've got to trust your process. And then even if you go, okay, I'll try a different process. But if you don't have faith in it, you won't get there.
That's right. And I think doing things where you go, there is no perfection. There is no end game. There's just,
no,
movement.
I'm not going to the gym, like the Olympics as a gymnast. no.
Although you have competed, haven't you? You did compete in that.
Yeah, in absolutely lawless strongman competitions anybody can enter.
I think, Jess, you're a feminist, but you're competing in something called strongman, and that's the name of the event. Yeah. And they don't call a strong woman or strong person.
No. Yeah,
I think we should campaign to change that.
Yep.
I mean, there are probably more important things. That's a bit white feminist of me, isn't it? To campaign to change the name of the strongman competition. Who cares? You know, it'll probably just change of its own accord at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love seeing you get stronger. And I know we're very privileged to be in a position where we can make strides physically. I know some people are not in that position for all sorts of reasons.
100%.
Both disability and access and, you know, all sorts. Mm-hmm. But whatever you are working on, addicted to progress is the thing.
Totally.
And don't worry if it's two steps forward, one step back, or don't worry even if it's two steps forward, two steps back, as it sometimes feels, or three steps back, because eventually there will be an upward trajectory and we all have to root for each other. Now, this brings me to our guest today, because our guest today started an organization called Sphere NGO. And they are desperately trying to make progress, but it's not them that's finding it hard to make progress. It is, in fact, the social structures in the place where they live.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Our guest today started an organisation called Sphere NGO to provide a safe space for women and LGBTI people in Ukraine, where often people are attacked and harassed for their identity. Please welcome Anna Sharihina and Vera Chenigina. So this is Jess Foster-Q.
Hello.
My co-pilot.
Hi. My cat just mewed there, Deborah, to celebrate your name pronunciation. Did you hear it?
I didn't, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, she's a very supportive feminist.
Delighted to hear so. I feel very proud of myself. So firstly, thank you so much for joining us, Vera and Anna. We really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about what the current situation is in Ukraine for LGBTQ. We would say LGBTQ plus. Is I intersex?
So the situation in Ukraine is the following, that it's not criminal offense anymore to be a member of LGBTI community, but we don't have equal rights with heterosexual people.
Це такі базові права, як право на шлюб.
And most of the rights are connected to the right to have civil partnership, which means that if people are not married, so they are not allowed to be present in the emergency room with their partner, they cannot adopt children and all other rights which are connected to marriage.
So it's been decriminalized. When did that happen?
В 91-му році відбулася декриміналізація.
So it was decriminalized in 1991, but we still have very strong stereotypes in society, and many people believe that LGBTI people, they are either sick or criminals.
Wow, so there's a real cultural issue with bigotry against LGBTI people.
Так, і не тільки, бо це провокує не тільки відсутність законодавства.
And the absence of the proper legislation, it's not just about stereotypes, but it also provokes hate crimes, threats, bullying, and different attacks on the community.
What kind of attacks?
So I would like to say a few words about our community center for LGBTI people. And so that is the place where LGBTI people can come and to see people like them. And we decided not to hide the exact address of this place, not to make it secret, but we decided vice versa to make it public, even though we understood the risk that our opponents or homophobic people can come and harm people who come there. And over the past 3 years of the existence of the center, so we have had about 20 attacks of different level of gravity. And here we are talking about they threw in the live grenade inside the building or to the level of just vandalizing the outside wall.
They throw a grenade in?
Light and noise grenade. So not the real grenade, but...
Oh, a light and noise grenade. So it frightens you?
No, it,
oh, it is. This kind of grenade is prohibited based on Ukrainian legislation, and it is considered to be arms.
I don't know if I've got any questions. I'm just computing it all. It's awful. But it's amazing that you have made this safe space. What can be done? Because actually, you know, it is a safe space compared to the outside world in that context. But equally, hearing you talk about it like that, it doesn't feel like an objectively safe space if it's constantly under attack. So, I mean, there's so many ways of looking at this. I want to know, first of all, maybe on a really like specific level, but this community centre, like, what can be done to protect it and keep it as a genuinely safe place for people to come, a place of asylum, by the sounds of it, from society. And then there's the much bigger question of where do we even begin with the whole of society? I suppose it's easier to start with the community centre, isn't it, really?
Ну, я відповім на перше питання. Це було стратегічне рішення не скривати.
And it was, when we are talking about the safety of the center, it was a strategic decision not to hide the address, not to make it secret, because we believe that visibility brings security in the society. And for that reason, we are organizing prides. We already have 3 prides in Kharkiv. And I believe that, that these are the important steps to do. And but of course we care about security. We have certain rules about safety and security which we deliver to all our participants, and it's not that we just open the door and welcome everyone. Yes, so we are protecting those people who come to our place.
Amazing.
And it is amazing that even after this attack, people keep coming to the community center. They visit our events, and in particular, they come to Kharkiv Pride.
Проблема цих нападів, що найменше полягає, почасти полягає в тому, що люди,
the biggest, very big problem of these attacks is that people who commit them, they are not punished. So they can use arms, they can injure people mentally or physically, and but police don't investigate these hate crimes well enough. So, and people are not punished for these actions. And therefore, it sends the signal to other people and to the society overall, the attitude of our government to human rights. And if we are answering like the second part of the question about what can be changed in society, I want to say that we are really grateful to Amnesty International for inviting us to participate in Right for Right marathon, because we believe that it is very important to send the right signal to Ukrainian government from the international community that hate crimes have to be investigated, because this is the crime against people's dignity.
So can I ask a question? Is there a law against hate crimes against LGBTI people in Ukraine? Is it against the law to do this?
Наразі в Україні немає чітко закріпленої.
At this moment, there is no clear definition in Ukraine for the hate crimes against LGBTI people.
So there's no law against it?
Ні, окремого закону немає. В нас є згадування.
No, we don't have any separate laws. In the criminal code, it is mentioned that hate as a motif, but they don't mention sexual orientation or identity.
But these people aren't being criminals because they are physically attacking you, they're vandalizing your property, they're throwing grenades through windows. So that in itself is a crime. So the police could pursue them, but they don't, because they say, oh, we don't care, it's only the LGBTI center, we don't care.
So it is partly true when we talk about that it is crime, and the police can investigate and prosecute those people regardless, yeah, of legal definitions. But it's not only that they say that, oh, we don't care because it's a center. Sometimes they say that, oh, that's what they deserve because they're freaks. And if they were quiet, yeah, so nobody would attack them. And if they're so visible, so they... That's what they get.
Oh my God.
І в той самий час саме ми маємо можливість вести відеоспостереження та надаємо докази у вигляді відео
And at the same time, we have the chance to share surveillance footage, photos and videos with the police, but police don't use it as proof.
So it's sometimes, I suppose, it more effective to use social media to share that evidence and then use international pressure to change police behaviour.
I believe that in Ukraine, the public opinion and people in general, they are more flexible than those people who work in the system. I mean, in public institutions and police. And now we can feel a little bit more relieved because we feel less pressure from these strong young guys since the moment when their former Minister of Interior left his post. And now we are hoping that we will get proper investigations of cases like this. And maybe if my last comment was not so clear, I would like to clarify that there are some believe that there was a connection between certain homophobic groups with the police.
So what can we do along with Amnesty International and their Right for Rights program, which is a program, if people don't know it, where lots and lots of people write in about human rights to a particular government or part of a government to bring pressure to bear from the international community who say, hey, this isn't good enough and we can all see you and this is embarrassing for your country, so change this. It's a great program and it really does work. Over the years, it's worked in many cases to release political prisoners and to change policy because governments just don't want that kind of international scrutiny and they just say, hey, let's just fix this because it looks embarrassing and it looks like we don't pay any attention to human rights and we should. And so Right for Rights really does work. We know that. What can we do in this case, along with Amnesty, to write to your government about your rights?
Наскільки я знаю, то марафон в нашому випадку марафон не.
And so in Ukraine, as far as I know, so the letters will be written and collected and sent to the Minister of Interior, and that is the institution that we want to get their attention.
І я також хочу сказати, що те, що буде написано, ми бачимо і ми пильнуємо права людини і ми
I think that it is very important to write that we see what's going on. We then human rights, that is the value, international value, yeah, for the international community. And so it's important to show that our neighbors, they share this value with us. And also in particular, you can mention the proper investigation of hate crimes.
Well, if you're listening to this right now, you probably have a device nearby or on a device. All you need to do is look for the link in our show notes, or you could just go to amnesty.org.uk and just search for Ukraine LGBTI campaigners attack. And there'll be a clear and quick action there for you to automatically write to the Ukraine government. If everyone who was listening to this podcast did that now, whether you're on a bus, you're at work, you're falling asleep, you just take the 2 minutes to quickly do that, it will make an enormous difference. And it could literally be the difference between somebody being hurt or not hurt. But the queer community in Ukraine being protected by the government or just simply being thrown to the wolves and ignored. So if we all just took the time, and it would honestly take you 90 seconds to 2 minutes, it would make the difference, and it could make the difference between someone's life being saved. So it is a genuine act of feminism. Can I ask some joyful things that happen at Sphere, which is your safe space for women and LGBTI people in Ukraine? Can I ask what's lovely about going there? What do you look forward to? What kind of events do you do?
Ну, я, наприклад, роблю там лесбійські вечірки. Мені це дуже подобається. Коли є час, я
So I personally organize lesbian parties there. So when I have time and resources, so I do it something good for myself and it can help me relax.
Nice.
I
I think that the most important thing that is going on in our community center is that people feel normal. And maybe it can sound strange, but I think that it is important for a person to have this feeling that I am one of them, and people in this community, like people respect me. And for example, about the events, tomorrow I'm organizing the showing of the documentary movie on Dignity Day. And we also organize a lot of discussions, so it's pleasant for me that we have not only some entertaining events, but we also have a chance to have the discussion and to find like-minded people who we can discuss some easy and difficult topics to talk about.
В нас збирається волонтерство, наприклад, які потім працюють над Харків Прайдом.
It's also a place for volunteers, for example, those who are participating and organizing Kharkiv Pride, so they can come there and make posters or plan their events or activities, performances. And I can talk really long because we work 5 days a week and something is going on there every day.
It sounds great. I'd love to come and visit.
Yeah. Please.
Welcome.
Can Jess and I come together?
Yeah.
Super. It could be good lesbian woman party.
Yes. Jess loves a good lesbian woman party.
I love a good lesbian woman party. We'll bring a different kind of noise and light grenade. We'll bring the positive kind, party kind, yes. A discoed kind.
Okay. Jess's fiance is a playwright and Jess is a comedian. Yeah. So I feel together they could come and bring some excellent lesbian entertainment.
She'll bring some really sad plays and I'll just tell some jokes about animals.
Yeah, they're sort of sad and happy together. I mean, they're both fun and happy. I don't want poor Steph to be implied. Her plays are not as funny as Jess's comedy, but they're not trying to be. But I do comedy as well, so we could come out and do some kind of pride-like fun event. I don't know. I mean, the problem with English speakers is we tend not to speak any of the languages very well.
Yeah.
So we might be doing this in English. I don't know if Helena would agree to interpret for us while we're there.
We are working on our English all the time, so it will be a good chance for us to practice as well.
I would love to watch Jess do stand-up comedy, but have every line interpreted to see if it's still funny when it's translated.
Thanks, Deborah, for wanting to watch that.
I really want to watch
that. I want to add that in the time it took you earlier to say the name of the web address that people should go to sign the petition, I signed it.
Excellent. Well done, Jess.
Seconds.
And it could save lives. Right for Rights really does work. Amnesty has a long, long, long history of changing policy and getting action done and delivered. Listen, we love the sound of all your Pride events and the sound of your community centre. We're sorry you're so consistently under attack and you've been attacked 20 times in the last 3 years. I mean, that must just be constantly frightening. And of course, you don't know when that's going to escalate. So we really want to do everything we can as feminists to support you in the UK and around the world as guilty feminists to make sure that we show solidarity with you and we let the Ukraine government know we're watching.
Дякую, це дуже надихає нас робити це.
Thank you. That's what inspires us to go on. So if we get support of feminists, women and old people.
And old people.
All people, but some of them are going to be old.
Some of them are going to be old. We love old people. We love young people. We just love people.
We just didn't quite understand why you would have said that because we're both 23.
There's no need to laugh at that. That's
without any interpretation as well.
I'm just saying, no interpreter needed. Thanks very much. I look lovely in this light. I could be 23 in this light. I don't want any laughter about that. I'm having a good hair day as well. I'm feeling myself. I mean, in the American use of that term, that sounds rude.
No, I'm grown up enough not to have even laughed.
Clearly a lie. Listen, we love what you're doing, and we want to support you and help Amnesty support you in your endeavour to be allowed to live fully out, proud, loud, visibly, and never under attack. So we send all of our love from the Guilty Feminists around the world to both you, Anna and Vera, and everybody at the Sphere safe space. And we wish to make your safe space much safer. So thank you so much.
Hey, mate. God.
That made me feel like crying at the end.
Shit business over there. My God. Never felt so privileged.
I know. It made me feel like crying.
What an amazingly lucky thing to be queer where we're queer. It's not it's horrible. My own experience of that has been, not from me, you know, but of conversations like the one there, is speaking to friends who've come from Eastern Europe to live here because of how awful it was to live where they are from in their, you know, in their country of birth. I mean, it's, oh dear, it's awful.
I know. I've got one Eastern European friend who says, oh, never again, she'll never go back there again, although obviously with Brexit.
Yeah, well,
there may be a, you know, she's trying to hold on. She's an architect. She's trying to hold on to her status here, but she's like, oh no, you're totally called a freak.
Fucking hell.
You know, all of this sort of stuff. And it's just, I think we don't really realise, and this is one reason I really want to do this thing, Campus Christmas for the Say It Loud Club, is the idea of pride. When you come from somewhere where either homosexuality or queerness is criminalised, or even if it's not criminalised, if it's demonised to such an extent in the culture, the way that Anna and Vera talked about it, then the idea of pride, you know, you have to fight for pride every single day. And I think it's really easy to think, oh, how could that be? But in this country, it was like 1967 that it was decriminalised.
Yeah.
So clearly that didn't change overnight. You look at 80s and all the police brutality against LGBTQ people. You look how long it took to get equal marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened about last Wednesday. You know, so the idea that, this is something that has improved quite recently, but for LGBTQ people in this country, but the difference in people's mental health.
Yes.
Having full rights to say, no, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my spouse.
Yeah.
And to be able to have equal footing to adopt children, to be, you know, obviously there's not that there's no homophobia or homophobic attacks in this country. There definitely are. But there's something about the social structures, the legislation saying, no, full rights as a human being. This is illegal. This is a hate crime.
Well, it's different, isn't it? You get things in society where society lead the way and then the law changes in accordance with that. And then you get things where you pave the way by changing the law first.
Mm-hmm. But either way, society is the marginalised group and their allies have to fight for both of those changes hand in hand.
And these amazing women are doing their bit to change the visibility of queer people in their community. But yeah, you need to wade in and back a big organisation like Amnesty to change actually the behaviour of the government, the law, the police, the institutions.
Mm. What a risk.
Yeah, I mean, they are so, I mean, the things that comedians get called brave for, and then you talk to women like that.
You just go, man, they're visibly queer women who will not hide their safe space and say, well, how is it a safe space if it's underground? It's not safe. Yeah. It's safe because it's visible, because we say no. And also, we want people to know where it is so that they can come and be safe there.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they must personally be targets. That joyful space that they hold inside, or when they go out together as a team for pride events, you know, is one where they know that, of course, there could always be some kind of attack, and there are frequent attacks. So, you know, it does behove us, where the LGBTQ community has made bigger strides in this country, it behoves us to, as feminists, say, hey, look, this is not very far away, and yet look at what's happening. And to try and get behind them. Yeah, I really felt moved by them, and I really felt like I would love to actually go out there and meet them and
just had a little daydream about you and me and Grace Petrie and a few, you know, Sophie Duca and a few people going out and doing like a fun event out there with them, because it would just be really lovely.
Could be a bit amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to be in that space. I mean, I don't know how our jokes are going to land.
No, I don't know. I think we might be better going with a play. Shall we bring Steph?
Yeah. Although I feel like the challenge of doing stand-up comedy there with an interpreter would be wonderful.
Eddie Izzard would say yes to it, so we, as feminists, should be prepared to give it a go.
We could phonetically learn it. Like,
we could get a few laughs just watching you trying to say everyone's surname.
Thank you, Jess.
They absolutely cracked up at that and at the bit where we thought that they'd called us old.
Especially.
So those are the angles
people.
We could. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm sure we'd do something. I think they'd be very welcoming. They seem to really light up at the idea of us coming over. So maybe that's something we could plan for next year.
I'd love to.
I would really love to as well. That's why I'm so excited about the show we're going to do together, Jess, called Campers Christmas.
Yes.
Because it's for Say It Loud.
16th of December.
Yeah. Because Say It Loud at the Inn Chapel. Because Say It Loud is run for and by refugees who are fleeing homophobic criminalisation and violence around the world. And often they're asked things like when they get here, like, you know, the Home Office will go, well, you don't look like a lesbian. And they're like, well, yeah, but if I look like a lesbian in Cameroon, I'll be dead. So
yeah,
that's why I don't look like a... And also there's not necessarily the same iconography.
What does a lesbian look like? That's rude. Like,
exactly. A lesbian doesn't look like anything. Yes, you know, like a lesbian doesn't necessarily look like anything here. What they mean is...
Some days I think the only ways that I'm sort of presenting as a lesbian is the cat fur that's on my trousers.
I mean, there's your fiancé.
Yep. There. She's not always there. I don't carry her around like a rucksack.
Do you identify as bisexual or lesbian?
I'm definitely not lesbian, but I identify as queer because I've had run-ins and troubles with the labels bisexual or pansexual. So I go with queer so that don't upset anyone. And it's shorter than saying I'm liable to potentially fancy literally fucking anyone. Not very catchy. I swing all ways.
Well, I am very excited to have you on our big LGBTQ plus lineup.
I'm so excited to do it. What a lineup.
On the 16th of December. I'm hosting with Tom Allen, the one and the only, the most charming and talented man in comedy, in my opinion. And we've also got the queen herself, Sandy Toksvig, in the house.
Yes.
Jess Foster Q, Jen Brister, and some lovely people like Raven Smith, Travis Alabanza, Celia AB, and Russell Tovey and Rob Diamond from Talkart are coming down to do a little double act. But also there's some acts that are so on fire, I'm not even allowed to say who they are yet. They're not allowed to be announced yet.
No.
So it is going to be the holiday extravaganza of your actual dreams. It really will be Campers Christmas. So come down and let us make your Yuletide gay. At the Union Chapel on the 16th of December, and that money will go straight to those refugees who need to find community pride and logistical support. And some of the money will go to Dr. Rola Hallam because she is alarming Syrian schools against bombing. So we would love to have you down there doing something wonderful this Christmas, December 16th, especially as we had a real half-measures Christmas last year and we weren't able to do a Christmas show at all. In the meantime, if you haven't yet gone to Amnesty and done Right for Rights, do it. Jessica Foster-Cool, would you like to plug anything?
I've got a podcast called Hoovering. It's all about eating. And I am running a new material gig in Camden in North London some Mondays. A few left in November. I don't know when this is going out. Or a bunch that will be publicised very soon in 2022. They're cheap. They're new material. They're full of lovely, lovely comedians. Only the lovely ones I'm booking.
Yeah. Honers Club, Jess Foster Q's Honers Club, because people are honing material.
Deborah comes down sometimes and it's a blast.
In fact, I do. And thank you. In the meantime, if you haven't yet gone to Amnesty and done Right for Rights, do it. And Jess, it's been wonderful to have you here at the Guilty Feminist today. And we look forward to having you again soon.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster-Kew, and our very special guest, Anna Shari-Heiner and Vera Chenigina. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer was Tom Selitsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Craftman, Gina DC, and everyone who made this episode happen, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Woo! Doing your names and say, please welcome Anna Shari-Heiner and Vera Chenigina. Is any of that anything like how you pronounce your names? Because I've just run at it. I've taken a confident jump over a fence there. Have I landed in any way properly?
My surname is Chernigina, but it's more complicated than you said. Chernigina.
I've got it. Chernigina.
Nay.
Chernigina. Chernigina. So is it Vera?
Vera Chernigina.
Vera Chernigina. Okay. But there's more of a flourish on the... I don't know that my English mouth is going to be able to get the sound. So I'm going to do my best for you. And Anna Shari-Heiner? Shari-Heiner?
Shari-Heiner?
Shari-Heiner.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.